Take your Bibles, please, this morning and turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6 this morning, please. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read one verse this morning in Ephesians chapter 6. And as our custom is, when we read one verse, I'll read aloud the first time through, and you'll read along silently, and then we'll read together in unison the second time through. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Please stand to your feet as you're finding your place there, if you would, please, in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. Ephesians chapter 6, and verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's read together. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now let's pray together. Father, thank you for today and the opportunity we have on this Father's Day to come hear the Word of God preached. Lord, thank you for this day. But more than the day is what we're doing right now in hearing the Word of God preached. Thank you for this dear gathering of people, this faithful folks that have come. Now help us today because we have come. Help those on the internet today because they listen. God, work in our hearts and our lives. Help us to hear what the man of God has for us today from the Word of God. Now we ask your power upon our preacher as he comes. Anoint him for this task. And Father, one last request. If there's somebody in this room or on the internet this morning that does not know Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave this room or while they're listening on the internet, they would settle this matter of their salvation this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, again, we'll ask that you check your electronic device to make sure it makes no noise, sound, or anything during service. We would appreciate that. Now, the message on Father's Day, as it is on Mother's Day, is usually geared just to dads, and that's what we'll do this morning. Mother's Day, I don't preach to the dads, I preach to the moms. You're already not paying attention. Okay, that's fine. We kind of direct the message on that special day to that special person. So much of what I'll say today is to our fathers, our dads. I always admonish you, if your dad's alive, you get a hold of him today. Speak to him, call him, do something. Just wish him a happy Father's Day. Now, dear people, in Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 18, going down to chapter 6 and ending there at about verse number 9, the major roles of life are mentioned. You and I will know most all of these roles. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about the wife and the husband relationship. Down in Ephesians chapter 6, it starts to talk to the children and their parents. By the way, look at me now. Ephesians 6 verse 1 and 2 does not apply to little children only. It applies to anyone who had a mom or a dad, listen now, at any age in life. Now, once you grow up and on your own, your parents don't run your life anymore as much as we would like to. We wish you would still come to the source of all known wisdom. At least if you're going to ask for our money, would you ask for our advice and the time? Anyway, the point is, but you see, my mother's in heaven. My dad's getting close. And I still have a father and a mother that I need to honor. We all do. And if you read those first few verses in Ephesians chapter 6, it's to your benefit to honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on this earth. That's very important. And we don't have the time to go into all the explanation of what honor means. It simply means to treat them of the respect for which they are worthy. My dad wasn't much. My mother wasn't much. They were worth something. You should honor that. Then when he gets into the other roles, he starts talking to parents and their child relationship. In Ephesians chapter 6, where we are today in verse number 4. Then verses 5 to 9, he talks about the employer-employee relationship, servants and their masters. See, my boss is not my master. It sure seems like it, doesn't it? The truth of the matter is, almost all the major roles in life are covered in these verses. But now listen. In verse 4, mom is not mentioned here. It says, and ye fathers. Talks to the husband and the wife. Talks to the child and the parent, child to the parents. But when it talks about the parents to the child, it just talks to dad. Verse 4. And ye fathers. Now this morning, guys, I want to talk to you on that simple statement, and ye fathers. Moms are mentioned about 300 times in the Bible. Dads and fathers are mentioned 1,300 times. There's something, it doesn't mean that mothers are not important. It simply means God wants to spend more time trying to help dad get things straight and keep it that way. I do believe this. I believe that our society today is largely impacted and affected by either the influence of or lack of influence of mothers and fathers on their children. America has lost its mind, and most Americans think that the government is supposed to fix it. Well, if government was more important than anything else, God would have started a government instead of a husband and a wife. He started a family first because that's the basis of society. Now then, this morning I want to talk to you, and ye fathers. The child is admonished to honor both father and mother, but the child, the father and mother are not admonished on how to take care of the child. I thought to myself, well, why is he just picking on dads? Well, see, that's what a lot of people think. Whenever God kind of singles out a person, he singles out a woman to tell her what her role is, or a man to tell him what his role is, or a child to tell them what their role is in relationship to their parents. They think, well, why is God picking on me? God's not picking on you. He's singling you out for a purpose. See, good moms already do this kind of stuff. Fathers need to be reminded to do what he's told. Let's fathers take these admonitions this morning and let us begin with, and your fathers. May get right to the message. All fathers need to take heed that you need to do this. You need to fulfill your role. And ye fathers. Dad, your role of fatherhood didn't begin because you fathered a child. We see all across society today people who father children, but they're not a father to their children. They think because they're biologically capable of creating a child that somehow or another immediately that makes them a father. No, it doesn't. It means you fathered a child. To father your children means to take on that role. Now, you do understand, gentlemen, that God has decided that one of his titles that he uses about himself, God did this, we did not, is he calls himself the Heavenly Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The great, what people call Lord's Prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is John 17. That's the model prayer. And Jesus admonished his disciples about prayer, and he's teaching them, I want you to address God as your Father. And so God took the earthly role of a father and attached it to a likeness of himself. Now, don't get excited, fellas. That doesn't mean you're God. Okay, let's be very clear about that part of it. What I am saying is this. Listen to me. God set a standard for a father very high. And so my responsibility as a father comes from my heavenly Father. So we can all do the psychological excuse thing. Well, I didn't have a very good father, so I really don't know how to be a father. It has nothing to do with it. Just like the Bible tells a husband to dwell with your wife according to knowledge, not experience. Doesn't matter what you saw between your mother and father. You have an example from the Bible that you follow. A husband's to dwell with his wife according to the knowledge of God's word, not the experience of his life. Got to get off that crutch thing. We got way too much of the crutch thing in society, that because you grew up in a home that was dysfunctional and all these problems, that you don't know how to be a good husband. You don't know how to be a good father. Yes, you do. The Bible tells you how a husband's supposed to treat his wife. And the Bible tells a father what the example of a good father is, and that comes from the Heavenly Father. No, you're not God, but I tell you what, you have a standard that God has set from his word. What do you know and I know about our Heavenly Father? You see, your knowledge of God, gentlemen, is going to help you in fatherhood. It's going to help you to understand who God is. Today in our society, we have people today who have a skewed view of God. They have their own view. Well, this is God as I understand him. Well, that's too bad because you've got a limited understanding of things. You don't have God as you understand him. You have God as he is. And that's what the Bible is for. The more you learn from the Bible, the more you're going to know about who God is. Then I'm going to understand as a father, he's my heavenly father. How does the heavenly father treat his children? With love, with understanding, with knowledge. Oh, wait a minute. Listen, with care, with correction, with discipline, with instruction. Isn't that how our heavenly father treats us? He does. He loves us unconditionally. Is that not true? Now, come on, church, stay with me. Don't go to sleep yet. I'm not that far into the message. I said he loves us unconditionally. Is that not true? Man, a good father loves unconditionally. But our heavenly father also watches out over us. You can't get away from anything with God. Have you noticed you can't get away with anything with God? Have you noticed you can't get away with anything with God? Right? Haven't you done that with your children, Dad? Haven't you said, now what did you do? And the kid goes, I didn't do that. And you know they're lying to you. Just the look on their face. It's almost a waste of time for asking. Because you know, they just look at you. No, I didn't do that. It's amazing how God knows things about us and understands us. There's so much about God. We've got time to go over all the roles of our Heavenly Father. But see, that's what's happening today. Too many people today, because they don't understand God completely as he is, they don't understand as a father what their role then is. See, we got these dads who are just judgment dads, and that's what they are. They're just judgment dads. By the way, don't leave that out. That's good. But they have no compassion or mercy. Strict parenting never ruined a child. Unjust parenting does. One thing about God the Father is he's not a hypocrite. He doesn't tell us to do one thing and turn around and do another. God doesn't fly with that, a do as I say, not as I do principle. You're living by that one? You better pull that out of the book, friend. You're messed up here. See, he is God. Now listen, our Heavenly Father, that's my role. My role is to model my fatherhood after my Heavenly Father's responsibilities of my life and to get the full scope of it all. He loves me. He forgives me. He's merciful. He's patient. And he'll take me to the woodshed if I don't pay attention. Same God. Same God. See, we're creating imbalanced children because we have an imbalanced understanding of what our role is in fatherhood. God, listen to me. He knows what we want before we even ask him. That great model prayer of our Father which art in heaven. You read that passage in Matthew and in Luke, you'll find that when before Jesus taught him that, he says, but our Heavenly Father knoweth what we need before we ask him. You know why? Because he's paying attention. He's not a disinterested father. He's not a detached father. He's not one of these dads. They say today the average father in America spends less than 90 seconds a day with his children. 90 seconds a day. That's like a commercial and a half. That's not our Heavenly Father. He stays up all night, watches out over us, knows every need we have in our lives, loves us unconditionally when we don't do what we're supposed to. He still loves us. Does he correct us? Yes, he still corrects us. Oh, a good Heavenly Father will love you, watch out over you, care for you. And if you don't do what you're supposed to do, he'll stop you. He'll correct you. He'll put roadblocks in front of you. He'll keep you from doing what you ought not to do in your life. And if you do it, he'll make you pay the price for doing so. Same God, same God. That's our Heavenly Father. That's your role, Dad. MG fathers, would you learn from your Heavenly Father what a good dad is and fulfill his role for your life? See, I'll start today. When I go home, everyone has to kneel and bow. That's not what I'm talking about. Gentlemen, look at me. And you fathers, fulfill your role that God has given you. Stop going to the world and trying to figure out what the world says a father is. They don't have any idea what a father is. They leave God's word out. They turn away from their Heavenly Father. They turn away from God completely. And then they're going to tell you how to be a dad. I'm sorry, that's not how it works. Your role is to model yourself after your Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father, listen now, is worthy of reverence and respect. So, Dad, earn it. earn the respect as a father. See, that's why I'm going to demand respect in my household. First of all, if you live like you should, you shouldn't have to demand it because you've been paying for it all along. It's like when a guy stands up and says, I'm the head of this household. You know, the truth is, when you make that statement, you realize you're not the head of the household. Because if you were, no one would be questioning that. That wouldn't be a problem. You wouldn't have to go around, you know, like King Kong beating on your chest, like some of you guys do. You know, some of you guys, you go to Independent Fundamental Baptist Church just so you can get a submissive woman who has to, so you can do that. You're my wife, you have to do what I say thing. You know, if you have to say that, that proves you're not much husband.
Just working. I'm just... Test 1, 2.
I'm just checking now. You know, that's amazing to me. Simply amazing to me. You want all the so-called benefits that go with husbandhood and fatherhood, but you don't want the responsibility. You shouldn't have to ask for respect. It ought to be given to you because you've earned it by how you live your life. Our Heavenly Father deserves respect. He's not the old guy in the sky and a big man up there and all that kind of stuff. He is God. We don't use His name in vain. We don't curse Him. We don't talk against Him. We don't talk about Him. We reverence Him. We respect Him because He is our Heavenly Father.
Well, I'm going home today. I'm going to tell my people. Yeah, buddy. I'm here. Let's get with the reverence and the respecting.
Okay, one more time. You shouldn't have to ask for it. You earn that. God is worthy of our respect. He is worthy of our reverence. He is worthy of this. Yes, I understand, gentlemen, that we have that problem, and that is that we have not always lived up to the expectations of everybody. We're not perfect like God. I understand that. We don't have all the package. There have been times we've done things that we shouldn't do and said things that we shouldn't say. And don't use that as an excuse to just quit, by the way. Well, I haven't always been perfect, so who am I to do anything? Well, what father has been?
Some of these teenagers, I love it when they say, well, see, I'm not having problems with my dad. I can't wait till they're a father someday. Because then I want to see how they do it perfectly, because they've seen the imperfect example. I'm waiting for that one. That's a blessing.
Well, my dad, sometimes he said something he shouldn't say. I can't wait till they're a dad and they do everything they're supposed to do, say everything that they're supposed to say, because that ain't happening, pal.
The point isn't so much that we fail so we give up. The point is we keep the standard where it is and we bring our living up to the standard.
You earn that respect. Look at me. By how you treat people in your household, how you treat your wife, how you treat your children, how you treat others, how they see you conduct yourself in public. Isn't it embarrassing to see how some people act in public? Huh? It's one thing when you see a kid run around. Well, he's ADHD and BVD and HIV and all this other kind of stuff. The kid's running around like the little Antichrist, you know. It's one thing to see that. It's another thing to see a grown man act like a fool in public. Haven't you been embarrassed by people in public? The way they act, the way they talk, the way they conduct themselves. Then they wonder why they don't have any respect. You don't deserve respect.
And ye fathers, fulfill your role. Number two, ye fathers, look at Ephesians 6 and verse number 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That means this, demonstrate restraint. A man with no control over his passions is not a man.
Well, I get worked up about stuff, Pastor Johnson. I do too. There shouldn't be any game 7. It should have been over. You know why? You know why there's a game 7 in basketball? You don't care about it. I don't know. I'm trying to keep your attention.
Money. Yeah, that's big money. Sure is. Got these little mouthpiece throwing guys tatted up with more ink on them than the stinking Constitution.
You know what? The truth of the matter is, dear people, the truth is I get worked up about stuff. I do.
And have I always controlled my passions? Oh, no.
I'll give you a what's called a glass house illustration. You get to see Pastor Johnson act like an idiot. That's about every Sunday. Anyway, the truth is, we're sitting at the dinner table one night. All the kids were little in their home. They were really little, to be honest with you. Teenagers or preteens. I was having going through some real battles and stuff and ministry things, and my patience was way past thin. It was gone. And we're sitting at the dinner table, and the kids were fussing with each other about something, and I just lost it. I had a pan of food, frying pan of food. Now, I'll show you how mad I was. I had a pan of food and I threw it down on the table. Now, that's how ticked off I was right there. Throw a chair, throw a glass, but you don't throw food. That's just not how it's done. And I said, I banged that skillet down onto the table. I said, be quiet! That's enough out of you! Shut up! And I got up and walked away from the table. That's not funny, but it's funny, okay? Went out to my little office in the garage, sat down. I thought, well, there you go. Way to go, Johnson. Threw food. Acted like an idiot. Lost your temper. And one by one, my kids came out the office. I'm sorry, Daddy. I didn't mean to upset you like that. And they hugged my neck and they cried. Well, that really felt bad. I mean, really felt bad. I thought, now my children are apologizing to me. And I'm the one that lost my cool. I told them, get back in the house. Get away from me. No, I didn't do that. I just said, hey, kid, Dad, all right, my marijuana prescription ran out. All right, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I said, I'm sorry, kiddo. I went back in the house. You're picking food up off the table. I said, told him, I'm sorry. Dad lost his cool. It's not good. Shouldn't have done that. I find that angry children are being raised by angry parents, usually angry fathers. It's not genetic. It's learned by example. People who live like they have no control over their life, you know where that comes from? They live with people who have no control over their life. There's no boundaries or parameters. There's no restraint to their conduct and their behavior. They sit there and just watch filth after filth after filth after filth on the television set, and they wonder why the kids reproduce the filth. Well, your eye affects your heart. Where's the restraint? Where's the, hey, you're not doing that. Hey, we're not going there. We're not going to do this. And don't you go do it and not let them. You don't do it yourself. You restrain. Provoke not your children to wrath. Children's anger, often directed toward their parents, is not the restraint of their parents. It's the hypocrisy of their parents. Yeah, Dad says we can't do it, and then look what he does. Restraint. Yes, Dad, you need to exhibit that in your life. They need to see that you have parameters and control and that you behave yourself in a proper fashion. Man, I'll tell you something. If they're not going to teach kids how to read in school, would they teach them manners? Would they just teach them how to behave themselves in public? Maybe even some table manners would be nice. It's like going to the 4-H exhibit. Put them in a trough and stick their head in there like a pig. I mean, teach them how to behave themselves. It's fascinating to me. There seems to be so little strain of behavior and conduct, but then there's Dad driving down the road yelling and screaming like an idiot because somebody got in their way. Then what happens? What are you laughing at? Then what happens? Hey, excuse me. Then what happens? Teenage boy driving his car. Somebody cuts him off, he loses his control. And what does mom do? You're just like your father. Restraint. Restraint over your passions. Restraint over your selfishness. Hey, the biggest giver in your house ought to be Dad. And I don't mean dropping dimes in those little pictures of skinny people at the grocery store in those little buckets. I'm talking about a lack of selfishness on Dad's part. Restraint. Provoke not your children to wrath, Dad. And you fathers, practice some restraint. Also, you fathers do this. Bring them up, the Bible says in verse 4, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Hey, Dad, to say send them, it said bring them. You know the difference between send and bring, don't you? Huh? You send them to go get something. You bring them with you to go find it. Yes? Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Dad, hey, you fathers, point your children to God. And listen now, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture is that tender care thing. Admonition is correction. It's a balance of things. You bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Of course, you do that, Dad, because you know him yourself. We're talking about the Lord now. You know him. Is there anything more powerful than a godly father whose example is, I know God and I live by his principles in my life? Look at me. Do your kids ever see you with a Bible in your hand? Walk in the morning, Dad's getting ready for work or his day. And what do they see? They see Dad with his Bible out reading it. Do they ever see that? If your children drew a picture of what does my dad when he do when he is at home, would he have to draw a 52-inch television set and a recliner and there you are? What would he draw a picture of you, kid? Dad, look at me. You bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That means you bring them with you. You show them. I love God. My parents ask me sometimes, how do you get your children to have a heart for the Lord? You don't. You can't. You create the environment so they can. You put restraints and limits so they have opportunities. You keep them away from sin. You get them in the right places, in home, church, etc. You give them every opportunity to do it, but you can't give them a heart for God. You just can't do it. But you know, isn't it interesting? How many kids, when you used to be in the old days, when you'd ask a kid, what do you want to be? He'd want to be whatever his dad was. What happened to that one? What about? They're not going to get a perfect example from us, Dad. I understand that. I wasn't a perfect father. I'm not a perfect father. I am a perfect grandfather. There is no question about that. I got it right now. Grandpa is to get to fix all the stuff you shouldn't have done when you were a dad or should have done when you were a dad. You get to fix. I'm a perfect grandfather. Ask my grandchildren. They'll tell you that. With the exception that I don't let them call the other people grandma and grandpa. Because they only have one grandfather. They only have one grandmother. Those other people are sweet and nice, but those are not your grandparents. This is your grandfather. But I hope if you ask my children, do your dad know God? I hope they say yes without hesitation. Do you know him? You can't bring him up to where you're not. You understand? Well, I'm not a bad person. Excuse me, Dad. All that means is you have morality you've instilled in them, which is a good thing. But do they know, hey, do they know you really love God, that that's really the case in your life? The nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture, sweet, tender care, admonition, challenge, and correction. You got both of those? You bring them up in that nurture and admonition. You know the Lord. You show them a father who knows God. You show them a father who walks with God and knows a nurturing God. You can't make your child love the Lord, but you can sure show them you do. And there is no question in their mind, but my dad loves God and I know it. Because you've shown them that example. So I wish I had a dad like that. Well, then you become a father, you be that dad. Okay? Then you be that kind of father. You be that kind of person, yes, that knows God and people know that you know him. And you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then in life, you just go through life and say, okay, by the grace of God, I will dedicate myself to be the father God wants me to be. Will we be a perfect example? No. Will we always do what we ought to? No. Will we slam skillets down on the table and act like an idiot sometimes? Probably. But I hope that the consistency of our life in other areas outweighs the weaknesses that we show sometimes. And it's not the other way around, that our weaknesses are greater than our strengths. And you fathers,